I begin today, I just want to tell you a little bit. I had prepared something for the search team to present to them, and, you know, it didn't happen. In the last couple of weeks, you know, when you're doing a search team, it's hard work, and you should pray for the search team every day. And when we get those men, and four of them thus far have said, you know what, take me out of consideration. It causes discouragement sometimes. Well, what's wrong with us? You ever have that feeling, you know, and why, and that's my job. I contact all of them personally and tell them it won't go anywhere outside of me, but I just want to know so I can help in the process. You know, when you're in an interview, a job interview, I used to travel and teach how to job interview and how to be a job interviewee. And one of the things you say if they don't select you is, can you tell me how I might have presented myself so that you would have taken and looked at me in a better light? So I've done that. And so don't be discouraged, even though that's the title of our sermon today, discouragement. And so as you pray for that team, and I would say, I mean, make that a nice beginning of your day. Lift them up, those eight folks that are involved in that, because it's not an easy task. And sometimes it can be that the discouragement that we talked about. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 42, if you would, this morning. Psalm 42. And Brian's been going through the Psalms, and he probably did this the way he's been going at his pace about 8 years ago, because he's only at 79. He's doing a great job on Wednesday evening. Come and listen to Brian as he presents the Psalms to us. This is a psalm about David and his discouragement. And if you, like me, have heard the song, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee, you probably would look at this as a very tranquil psalm. Let me read verses 1 through 8 for you. Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning? Psalm 42, verses 1 through 8. As the deer panteth for flowing streams, so panteth my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as they pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to honor to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon and the Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, of your breakers and of your waves have gone over me. For the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. May God add the blessing to his word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you that you love us, you care for us. And Lord, in times of discouragement, you are there. And so, Father, as we look at this short devotional, the short sermon this morning, guide our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I prefaced this because many times when that song plays, as the deer panteth for the waters, what will you see? A beautiful little deer, oh, just licking the water from the stream. Don't you? Anybody else see anything different? Well, you should. If you read this and you read it the way it should be read, you will see an animal in terror. Many of you, or some of you, a couple of you, well, maybe one, in your high school days were a runner. And when you ran and ran and ran and ran, you began to what? Pant. And catch your breath. And maybe if you're lifting weights, or maybe if you're swimming, or whatever you're doing, you are trying to get breath, trying to get oxygen into those lungs. And what David is saying here is, I have been chased by the enemy, and I have been running and trying to flee from that enemy, and I can't get away, and all I want is just to drink some water so that I can what? Run again. This is not a tranquil beginning to a passage of Scripture. This is David saying, this is where I am. Lord, help me. I've been there. You've been there. We're going to talk today about discouragement, which David faced much of his life. You know, because he had Saul chasing him. He had other things happening in his life that caused him to be discouraged. Psalms 50 and 51. Oh, my. When we read those, I want to this morning talk about discouragement and how we handle it according to the Scripture and how we move on. Anybody here ever that has been discouraged in the last 2 years? Anybody? Last 2 years you've had some discouragement. How about the last year? Last month? How about last week? Yeah, we've been there, haven't we? We know discouragement. Sandy and I were in Florida last weekend, and it was just as hot there as it is here, so you're not missing anything. And we were driving, went over to Pine Island, little island where we used to live when we were in Florida, and driving around, and the phone rings. And it's one of your former pastors. And he says, Arch, I want to talk to you. I pulled over, and he was discouraged about, you know, some things that were going on. He said, tell me about so-and-so. How are they doing? And I tell him how they were doing. And I said, how about so-and-so? And I said, oh, they're not doing, no, I didn't say that. I said, they're doing okay. And he said, tell them I love them. Tell them I'm praying for them during this process, you know. And so that's the greeting from Pastor Ted today, that you know that he loves you and he's praying for you. But he was a little discouraged. Monday morning, phone rings. I always get a call Monday morning from a pastor from Michigan. And he said, man, pray with me. I am so discouraged. Things are happening in my church. We have these click things developing, and I don't know how to deal with it. And I just would ask you for your prayer. And so we do have these times of discouragement. And so we need to know, you know, if we have them, why? Where do they come from, you know, and what are we going to do? You know, are we just going to go and, you know, there are those folks that just then go into a dark room and shut the door. And I'll see you sometime, maybe. Let me give you 9 points. Okay, Sandy said always have three. I've got 3 times 3 today, which is 9. The last time I did regular math. But they're short, Sandy. They're not, okay, she looks at me like, 9 points, you know. We're not going to get out of here until... No, they're easy ones. First one, you're discouraged. Look within. How many times do we cause our own discouragement? Why? Why did they get to do that and I didn't? Why was that person? What did this happen? Why, you know, and we bring it maybe on ourselves. Look within. I would have you look at verse 5 of chapter 42. And it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? He's talking to himself. Say, hey, what's wrong with you? Well, what's causing this turmoil within myself? Is it me? You know, what's going on? First thing, look at yourself. When we look at ourselves, what will we see? Well, maybe we'll see sin. Maybe we'll see ignoring the Word of God. I find I get discouraged if I don't do what God tells me to do. God will have discouragement come into my life. Yeah. Number one, that's a very simple one, isn't it? Look within. Examine yourself. See if there's any underlying causes for this problem. Number two, it's going to sound like we're in some 12-step group, but we're not. Admit that you're discouraged. Huh. Now, if I were to cut my hand, and I have, I've cut, anyway, and there was blood coming out, and the skin was parted here, and I went into the house, I wouldn't say, I'm okay, honey. It's all right. I say, hey, honey, I'm bleeding here. Would you get something? Let's wash it. Let's clean it. Let's put it together. And, you know, we sometimes when we're discouraged, we'll, you know, try to get around it. You know, and well, Christians shouldn't be discouraged, should we? God is with us. He loves us. But we can become discouraged. Name it. Face it. I'm discouraged because, and say it out loud. You know, I'm discouraged because people don't like me. You know, I'm not talking about anybody here in particular. We all love you, but okay. But I'm discouraged because I didn't get the job I wanted. I'm discouraged because I didn't get the raise I wanted. I'm discouraged because, you know, whatever the reason is, identify it. Say it out loud. Number three. I said number two and three are kind of together. You admit that you are, and then you name it. Number four, recall the nature of discouragement. Think about what causes discouragement. And to do that, it's really good to go into the Bible. Hey, how about that? Huh? We go into the Bible. Because if you go through your scripture, you're going to see folks that are discouraged over and over from the very beginning. Can you think how discouraged Adam and Eve were? I believe in my mind, I don't have it in the scripture, Adam had a hold of Eve's hand as they walked out of that garden. Imagine that, folks. They had been cast out of the most perfect place in the world. It was the only place in the world. You know, it was created for them. And they walk out hand in hand, and Adam says to Eve, oh, don't look back, because there's the fiery angels guarding the entrance so they can't go back. Oh, what discouragement from the very beginning of Scripture. Oh, let's see, who else do I have here? Oh, man, that we can have discouragement because of situations. We can have discouragement when we what? Obey God. What? If I obey God, I can become discouraged? What do you think about Noah? You know, that first 50 years building that ark was pretty fun. I'm sure it was. 60 years, then 70, and then his sons kept getting up later for work, you know, and he'd have to ring a bell. Come on, guys, let's go. 120 years about. You don't think there were moments of discouragement even though he was obeying God? So in your life, when you're obeying God, you're witnessing, you're reading the scripture, and you're doing things God wants you, there may be discouragement. In a moment, we're going to talk about rising above that. What God has put in place for us so that we don't stay in it. So we can have situational, we can have obeying God, we can have situations, we can have people. Oh, aren't people awful? You know? My word. You know, Jesus goes to pray before he's going to be crucified. Hey, guys, come on, let's go. And we know Peter, he's a cool guy. Yeah, I'm coming, you know, and I got my knife here and I got John with me. Let's go pray with Jesus. What a neat thing. I mean, all of us here, if Jesus were to come in and say, would you guys pray with us, pray with me, we'd flock around him and we'd put hands on him and we'd be praying. And Jesus came down and they were what? Asleep. And he said, oh my, this is discouragement from our Lord, guys. Oh, you guys, I just said, will you pray for just a little bit with me? And you're sleeping. Can't you wake up and pray with me? And he went back and, you know, and said to his father, what'd you give me these guys for? No, he didn't say that. If any of you have not begun watching the series The Chosen, begin. That's all I'm going to say. It's the best thing ever made for Christians to watch. Okay, it's in season two now, by the way. People, obeying God even in those situations. Family. No, your family never causes you to be discouraged. Never. Think of this. You're in the bottom of a pit, and some people in a caravan come along and buy you. Because why? Your brother sold you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Discouragement. Oh, my brothers sold me because I'm a dreamer and because my father likes me best, Dad, and yeah. So as we consider being discouraged, we have to know there's many reasons why we can be there. Many. And some can be, just like the weight of the world, and others can be momentarily discouraging to us, that type of thing. And we have to deal with them. So we have to, recall or look at the nature of all of these. In verse 3 of Psalm 42, the psalmist said, "My tears have been my food day and night, and while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" I mean, his despair, his discouragement was such that he didn't eat. And his tears were all that he had for days because of where he was and where his life was in front of his God. And what he shows us is if we're in that discouragement mode for very long, people are going to what? Start to notice. What's wrong with you? You got a problem? You're not like you usually are. You're not your other self. You ever had people say that to you? What's something bugging you? You're not yourself today. And people will notice. You see, that deer that we talked about in that first verse isn't the deer that we want to envision in our mind. It's the deer that has that bobcat or wolf chasing it, and it's just, I got to get out of this because it's going to take their life. In the last couple years, as I've been ministering in Minnesota and Illinois, of the, I think it's 9 funerals that I've officiated, 3 were of suicides. Discouragement to the end. There's no hope. There's nothing left for me. And so we have, we've looked within, we've admitted that we're discouraged, and we've named it, and we recall now the nature of our discouragement. If I don't find the nature of the discouragement, I'm not really going to be able to deal with it, am I? Many times in the olden days, and some of you will remember this, your car would make a funny noise, and you would open the hood, and you would say, "Oh, here it is," and you would fix it. And today, my car makes all kinds of noises. I don't know what they are, and it kills me, and I have to take it to the Ford dealership. And he says, that's a bad problem. That's, X amount of money, and it always is over what I have. But they have that. But we have that ability to see what the nature is of our discouragement. Number 5, begin meditating frequently in the Scripture. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And if we say that discouragement is sin, if it's not caused by God, and God can have us, put us in a situation where we can be discouraged, but if we're discouraged in him, it's sin. I love this. I've got it in the ESV version. It says, "I have stored up thy word in my heart." Not hid it. Sometimes I hide something, I can't find it. I have that problem of quite a bit as I've gotten older. But if I store something there to be used when it's needed, the GW version of the Bible said, "I've treasured your word and hid it in my heart." And so what we're talking about is having the word of God in our heart, so when we get into these situations, we can what? Face them head on. Yeah, but the Bible says God is with me. But this is what Jesus told me. And we can have those answers to those times when we are in a period of discouragement. Excuse me. Because the other thing, I kind of alluded to it, evaluating our discouragement, when I said to recall the nature of it, the Bible helps with that. Bible helps us evaluate everything, doesn't it? those that say they're believers and they don't obey Jesus. You know, somebody said that to me the other day at the coffee shop. Okay, I got to quit saying that. But at 9 East, I was at the coffee shop and somebody was proclaiming to know Jesus. And I mentioned a couple things and they didn't do that. And I mentioned a couple other things and they didn't do that. And I was doing it lovingly, honest, I really was. And finally I said, well, if you don't obey Jesus, what Jesus told you to do, how can you claim to be one of his? And he said, show me that in the Bible. Well, John 3:36. You know, if you love me, you're one of my disciples. But if you don't obey me, you're not ever going to even see me. You're not. I said, you said a prayer one time, but you're not a believer. You know, and so we have to really be able to look at things and discern what's going on, and the Word of God helps us to do that. Next one. We looked in the Scriptures, then take your area of discouragement to God in prayer. Ask Him to reveal what He wants to teach you through it. Oh, I'm going to learn something from being discouraged? Could be. You could be. Here we have, I love this. In verse 7. Deep calls to deep. All at the roar of your waterfall, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Okay, now take a second. Get your mind into imagination gear, okay? Deep to deep. Think of the biggest waterfall you've ever seen. If you've been to Niagara, you've seen that. I have not. And then think of the waves on Lake Michigan. Then think of the waves on the ocean. How did he start this song? He said, Lord, I'm panting. I'm being chased. I'm being pursued. I need just a drink of water from a flowing stream. Please allow me that. What did God do? Crashed over him with waterfalls of greatness. Put the waves and just surrounded him and came over him. Wow. You want God to help you in these things? Oh, my, to give you exceedingly beyond anything you've imagined. Because when we're in trouble, we imagine getting out, don't we? What's the best way to get out of this problem? Some of you, not very many, have seen the red lights come on behind your car. And you pulled over. And the officer came over and said, do you know how fast you were going? And I would say, do you? You know, I was hoping he doesn't. You know, I did. He says, you were going this and the speed limit's this. And what are you thinking? Oh, just, Lord, give me enough mercy so I don't, you know, not a big ticket, you know. And the Lord just floods it. So the guy says, hey, a warning today. Just be careful. You know, that's a very tiny example of what David was saying in a great big way. All this is happening to me, and you, Lord, have put me under your waterfall, the waves of your oceans. I am not only licking at a flowing stream, I am completely engulfed in you. Oh, my, what a beautiful picture. When we sing that song from now on, we shouldn't have that deer in the water. We should have a deer a picture of us just taking in all that God has. But, you know, take that area in prayer. And then 7, focus on the Lord, not your situation. Oh, that's hard. That is so hard. Oh, my. In the last couple of weeks, I've had those areas of discouragement. And, oh, I love to get on the phone and tell people about them. Oh, I'm so discouraged. And you know why? It's that person's fault. You know? And I've done it. Okay. I've done it. You know? No. Focus on the Lord and not your situation. Ask Him to help you see this disappointment and its lesson for you in perspective. I remember, and all of you know this, so it's not, you know, the day when you guys said, you know what, we as a church decided we don't want you to be our pastor. I was so discouraged that night. Next morning, I got a church that called me and said, hey, we'd love to have you come be our pastor. Whoa, God had that. That was His, what He had for me. Not what I wanted, you know, but what He wanted. Now that I've That's what God's will is. And it's so cool when that happens. So if you're dealing with something in your personal life that's got you discouraged, and you've been praying about it, you've been reading the scripture, the next thing will happen if you focus on the Lord in the situation, he's going to show you what it's all about. He doesn't leave you in the dark. He doesn't do that. You know, even those times of discouragement, can you imagine? I was thinking about old Paul the other day. Paul went through a little bit. He was shipwrecked a couple times and went to jail, got beaten, stoned, thrown out, told to get out of Jerusalem, you know, and he writes a letter and said, oh, I greet you in the joy of the Lord. Because if we can see what God has for us in these situations and what he has on what we call the other side in our human eyesight, man, can we ever rejoice? Verse 8 says this, by day the Lord commandeth his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. And in the, if you were to look at the Hebrew here, this is all in the fatherly tenses, the fatherly way that he's putting this. This is my father. You know, view the cause of as coming from the Lord to lead you somewhere, to help you understand something the way a father would. And some of you perhaps didn't have great fathers. I don't know. Next week's Father's Day, and I'm going to be back up on the big screen next week, because I'm going to tell you about a man that wasn't only a good father, he was an outstanding man of God. You know, and he happened to be my father, and he wasn't always like that. But we have the God of the universe that takes us, and as he says here, but the Lord commandeth his steadfast love, commands it toward us, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, which would you rather have? Would you rather live in that land of discouragement, or would you rather live in that land where God commands his steadfast love towards you, and at night there's a song, and I do this in the morning. You can't hear this, I hope, but I turn my computer up really loud, and I put the songs I want to hear before I go. It's kind of like a football player in the locker room getting ready for a game. I got to get up. I do. Because sometimes it's not me, and I have to say, Lord, get me ready for this time together this morning. So this morning I'm doing a mix of things, and the last thing I do is Lazarus. My name is Lazarus. And I do that because it's talking about three men that are pretty discouraged. They're carrying this crippled man in to see Jesus. They rip the floor off, the roof off. They drop him down. And the first guy in the song, not in the scripture, the first guy in the song said, oh, I know, he healed my withered hand, but I don't think this guy can ever walk again. And the second guy said, yeah, I know, he did make me see, but that's not as hard as making this man who's been crippled all his life walk again. And the third guy says, you know what, I had leprosy, and that's a rough one, and Jesus healed me, but I don't think he can make this man walk again. The fourth guy said, my name is Lazarus. I was dead, and now I'm alive. Christ can do it. No matter what discouragement you might be facing this morning, what's going on in your life because of your family, because of maybe something God's put you into that you just don't see the end and you're discouraged. Maybe it's family situation. Maybe it's financial situation. Whatever it is, here's the remedy, okay? Three parts. Confess three things. Number one, confess that God is with you in your pain. We don't like to think that, do we? We like to think if God is with us, we would be without pain. Many of us here have watched loved ones pass away and die during pain. They love Jesus. I remember when my mother passed cancer, and many of you have had those folks in your family that have passed of cancer, and the pain and what was going on as she was there. And God, she loved the Lord. She went to be with him. But confess, number one, God is with you in pain. Number two, confess that he is in control of your life and has allowed this for a reason. You know, there are sometimes you're not going to find out what the reason is here on earth. And I think when we get to heaven, we're not even going to care and we're not going to ask. But that's where this thing called faith comes in. A faith that God is doing what God will do so that he will be glorified. And the last one, he's a good God and will not let this disappointment be in vain. If what? If you get into the scripture, if you seek him, it's not going to be in vain. Sometimes discouragement sounds, harmless, but don't underestimate its power. Go way back to the beginning of our time together this morning when that deer that's panting, so panting because it's being chased and just wants just a taste of water. Discouragement is that evil one sometimes chasing us. Why are you doing that for God? Does God care about you? Don't love them. They don't love you. Don't avoid that trap. Well, those are the 9 steps. I hope they were an encouragement to you this morning. Boy, a short time. That means that Bridget has coffee ready. We'll have more coffee this morning. Have one more song. Okay, that's wonderful. Would you come at this time? And as they're coming, if there's something going on in your life today, a disappointment, and you just can't figure it out, this week, take that time with God in prayer. Get into the scriptures and seek what God would have for you there. We'll sing a song, and then I'll close with a benediction.
Yours, O Lord, is a kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. 1 Chronicles 29:11. He is exalted.
He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. We'll praise him.
Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, finally, brethren, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. All of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.